When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Athletes Unfiltered.
What the hell's going on here? I literally told him, I was like, you're in high school. And then he's like, no, I'm not in high school. Like, you f***ing idiot. You know? I was like, oh, geez, this guy's definitely not coming here now.
The podcast made by the athlete for the fans.
Kind of the main difference is that we're just pouring our hearts and souls into the sport. And I know our guys want to win. And that's what hurt in that moment. And what I had to kind of overcome and come to the realization, you know, this is what I signed up for.
Now here are your hosts, Adrian Martinez and Jeff Ekstrom.
Whether you are grocery shopping, doing homework, it doesn't matter. We're glad you decided to join us here on episode number 10 of Athletes Unfiltered. I am one of your hosts, Jeff Ekstrom, and as always, his Nebraska quarterback, Adrian Martinez. Adrian, episode number 10. We're at that mile mark. How's it feel?
Feels good. Feels good to be at the 10 episode mark. I just know we have so much more in store, and this is sort of the beginning. So excited we've made it this far and that it's kind of evolved in front of our eyes, and that's been pretty cool. And excited for this episode as well.
We're going back to the O-line room this time. We've already had Cameron Juergens on, and we've had a couple of others. But O-line group, Bryce Benhart, Turner Corcoran joining us here. And we got some good things to talk about with them.
Yeah, we definitely do. I'm excited to get these guys on, these young pups. my two tackles, love them to death. They're really quality dudes, and just the sheer size of them is something to see.
Yeah, certainly. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the O-line room. I mean, recently they had the whole O-line got a deal with Muchachos, right?
Yeah, Muchachos. I love seeing that. I guess it was like they got the Pipeline burrito. Mm. They've also made a Twitter account called The Pipeline. Done a lot of cool things there, just sort of making the most out of their NIL experience, you know. My guy, Matt Sichterman, he graduated software engineer. I think he's getting his master's now as a software engineer, something like that. I mean, the guy is just super smart is what I'm trying to say. He's absolute stud, worked at Huddle during the summer, just a jack of all trades. But he's kind of seems like the head honcho of organizing some of the NIL deals. There's a lot of passion in that group to get that stuff done. So excited that they got that. I think we have some more stuff coming in the future. Hopefully I'm integrated in that as well. But those guys have some things going for them. I think when we win some games this year, only more things will come.
And it's interesting because I feel like the offensive line room is such a unique fraternity on its own that NIL just is a natural fit for something like that.
Mm. Yeah, I would agree. You know, there's a real sense of, I mean, there's brotherhood across the team, the O-line room is different in a way. And you'll definitely hear our guests touch on that. But NIL and being able to, you know, a company, whatever, being able to adopt a whole room, a room that has an identity, the pipeline, which I know we'll touch on, but it's really cool to have seen for me, guys, when I was a freshman, they were seniors, and just the kind of the culture in that room and how it was established by Coach G and some of those older guys and how it's truly carried over to now. Yeah. And those guys have held on tight to that, and I love it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting too because, like you mentioned, these guys are on the younger side, freshmen, sophomores, and this year is kind of the first year of the changing of the guard. I mean, the guys who were older, like Farniak and whatnot, that were here when Frost came in, they were in the previous regime. Now all those guys are mostly gone, and now it's all Frost guys, and they're all kind of a mix. They're young and old, but still, it's kind of like a changing of the guard a little bit.
Yeah, I would say it is. You know, guys like Matt Farniak and Brendan Hymus, guys who played a significant amount of time on the line. We had like Bo Wilson, some other pieces in there that had a lot of starts under their belt as Nebraska Cornhuskers, and they're not here anymore. But that culture still remains. Yeah. I mean, I feel it, and I love it. But there is a changing of the guard of, like, guys who were recruited by Frost are in those positions now. So it's been cool to see that. Yeah. It has. But that culture's been steady with Coach G at the top there and those guys just embracing it. And it's truly a great example for the rest of the team.
And for you, Adrian, too, I mean – does it kind of feel weird a little bit, too? Because you're the first group that came with Frost here. Now you're a senior. You've seen the culture change throughout your 4 years here in some of the hardships and whatnot that the team has had to go through to get that culture established. I mean, how does it feel now to be that old dog and seeing all that change?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like an old dog. Yeah. You know what I mean? truly do feel like an old guy in the locker room. It's just funny how it goes. But I love my role. You know, I love being that guy who has experience and hopefully is able to influence the younger guys in a positive way, in a way that'll only make them better individually and as a collective in the program moving forward. So I cherish my role. And I take it seriously. You know, it was a little bit weird whenever I got to that point where it kind of clicked with me, like, yeah, I am one of the older guys on this squad. But I love it. You know, I remember the guys who influenced me when I was first coming in, like the Gerald Fosters and the Stanley Morgans and Divine Ozigbo, and how much I looked up to those guys at that moment. And now I'm in that role. Yeah. So,
and I think I want to kind of get your perspective on this, too. As that quarterback, you're always the leader of the team. But how has your leadership style had to change as you get older? Because not only do you have to focus on winning games and the success of the team right now, you also have to prepare to nurture and mentor the guys that are going to take over once you're gone as well.
Yeah, and I think it's a blend of leading by example and leadership is performance, and performance is leadership. So that's something that my coach, Coach Verdue, always says, and that comes down to, you know, for me, it's what it looks like in the weight room, off the field, meals, just the little things. It's got to be constant. Yeah. And that's a little bit of example. And then performance is generated through practice and through games. So executing on the field and doing it every single day. And that's just something that I've sort of continued to evolve in my time at Nebraska. I feel like I've always sort of been in that role in a way, and now that I'm older, I'm just better equipped to do that the best way possible.
You know who's equipped at protecting Adrian's blind side? A couple guys we have coming
up. Nice.
Turner Corcoran and Bryce Benhart. Coming up on episode 10 of Athletes Unfiltered. Don't go away. Plenty up ahead. Welcome back. Episode number 10 of Athletes Unfiltered. Jeff Ekstrom along with Adrian Martinez. And we have moved on to more O-line room stories. Bryce Benhart, Turner Corcoran, join us here. Athletes Unfiltered, episode 10. Gentlemen, thanks for hopping on.
Thanks for having us.
My guys. The two tackles. Yeah, look at them. They can't even decide who's going to speak first, you know, over here. Benhart dropped his phone first 2 seconds in here. It's all good, though.
Gotta get comfy.
Big guy. Hard to get comfy in a small room, huh?
Exactly.
How do you like, you know, this is just totally random, but how do you like flying on airplanes, man? You gotta hate that.
It's hard to find a good spot. Just because it's hard to find a good spot. I mean, exit rows are a blessing, and first class is a blessing. Everything else is just not it.
Yeah, dude, I'm 6'2", and I hate... normal seats, I'm like, I need an exit row. Yep. And you're 6'9".
Yeah. It's not fun.
No. No, not at all. What about you, Turner?
Planes are cool.
You know, planes are cool, huh?
Yeah, I'd rather drive, but, you know, if we're going to go fly somewhere very far away like Rutgers or, you know, Ohio State, I'd much rather fly.
Smart guy. Smart guy, for sure. All right, let's jump to some real, you know, football stuff about you guys.
Would you consider, I mean, Minnesota's, it's Midwest, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fair.
It's not North, yeah. So Midwest. Both Midwest guys. Let's talk about recruiting journey and what led you to Nebraska. I was obviously at Nebraska when both you guys were recruited, and I was pretty psyched when you both committed. So want to go through that for me? We'll start with you, Turner.
Yeah, definitely. So my recruiting process started off really early, you know, sophomore year. I got a few offers, and then I decided to cut my list down to 7. You know, Nebraska was obviously one of those top schools that were in that list. And, you know, from there on out, I kind of decided that, you know, I wanted to stay closer to home. And, you know, obviously I had KU, K-State, Oklahoma, and Nebraska kind of in that general area. And, you know, leading down to it, you know, I really looked at how genuine the coaches were. And, you know, there's a thing that Coach Frost kind of told me early on before I committed, and there was this thing called a BS meter. You know, I'll let you kind of think about what the BS means, but
hey, we can cuss on this podcast.
Okay. Yeah, it's unfiltered.
Bullshit meter.
Wait, what was it? Hold on, say it again.
Bullshit meter.
Okay, there you go.
And but no, so I was able to kind of disguise what I wanted to do as going forward with my recruitment and pick out what schools, you know, kind of, you know, what meters, you know, were higher than others, and from there on out, you know, I knew that Nebraska and Oklahoma, KU and K-State were those leading schools, and ultimately I picked Nebraska because it just felt like home to me. No, and I also want to give a huge shout-out to my old basketball coach from high school. He was a huge Nebraska fan. He helped me out a lot throughout the process of, you know, getting to and from games and stuff like that. So, you know, huge shout-out to Sam Stroh. So he's awesome.
There you go. Shout-out. You played basketball in high school as well?
Yeah.
You told me about there's a cool game. You tell it.
Every year when our local high schools play each other, Lawrence High versus Free State, I went to Free State. We would play at Allen Fieldhouse, which is KU's basketball coliseum or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it was a really cool atmosphere being able to play against them in such a historic building or historic coliseum.
You putting up buckets? What'd you average?
Dude, I was...
He does have one huddle highlight.
I do have a huddle highlight.
Did you jam on somebody?
No. It was like a spin move. It was a nice little spin move. And
a little fake pump. A little pump there.
No, it wasn't a pump fake or nothing. It was just a spin move. It was a spin move into a layup, and, you know, had the bench all excited, but, you know, it was...
His one famous.
Yeah.
One famous clip.
One famous clip, but not famous at all.
Damn.
I was more of like a rebounder, and I was there for like fouling. So setting screens. You know,
hey, I respect it. Big body for sure. Benhart, what about you and your process?
I mean, my process was very tight. I didn't let a whole lot of schools in. I had places that come in and visit and gave me ultimate a scholarship to go play at their school, but I ended up keeping it close. It all ended up really coming down to Wisconsin and Tennessee and here. Nebraska came in late in the game. I just didn't like the South. Like, Tennessee just didn't fit you. The heat really wasn't there for me either. That was a big problem,
big
too.
Big Minnesota guy.
Yeah. Cold weather. I'm better in cold weather than I am in hot, tell you that much. Sweat too easy. I wanted to be closer to home and have a place where I could build the program and build people around me that will want to strive to be great. And the coaches here are great, and G does an amazing job teaching more than just football and about life, just like every other coach here.
Yeah. I was speaking about that a little bit before with Jeff, just about the culture of the O-line room and how much I love it. You know, I love it, and it's a great example for the rest of the team in all, like, sincerity, like, seriously. Mm-hmm. And when I first got here with Gerald Foster and Tanner Farmer, like, that stuff just gets carried on down the line. Like, there are stories that don't leave, even though those guys leave. I mean, they stay throughout the room, and you guys have, like, really held on tight to that. And even though guys like Jaime and
Farniak
have left, that culture stays true.
We actually called Farniak about the other day about a call. What was it?
It was a Zoom call.
You know what Zoom stands for?
No.
Yeah, so we didn't either.
The exact acronym.
We didn't know the exact acronym for it, so we had to call Farniak to prove a fact that if he knew it, but he didn't remember, so G was all messed up.
So G was fucked up.
Yeah, G was fucked up.
He's like, how the hell do you not remember that?
And called Farniak for some backup.
Didn't work. Farniak, it didn't help. Backfired. Farniak remembered, so.
Oh, he did remember?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So, he was like, oh, shoot.
That's awesome. And seeing those guys and their success right now is pretty cool, too.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Jaime's out there with the Chargers, and I know Farniak's in the 2-deep. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's playing left guard right now with Slater.
I saw that. He's playing guard?
Next to Slater.
What a freaking beast. I mean,
the two rookies.
I just knew that guy was going to be successful, though. Definitely. I mean, he's a stud.
Definitely. And then Farniak is doing really good, too, right now. Yeah.
Dallas, right?
Yeah.
He's with the Cowboys.
He's playing center guard, I think, right now. Center, at least, last time I saw.
And that's a huge asset for them both, is having that flexibility. I mean, I know Farniak, for us, played center guard and tackle in his time.
Five.
So that's pretty pretty big asset for a team.
Definitely.
You can have something
Swiss
like
Army
that.
Knife.
How much of a good spot, though, is it for Jaime's? San Diego?
Well,
he loves
dude,
it.
They're in Los Angeles.
He loves it.
I heard he does like it a lot.
Yeah. I bet he does. Probably reminds
warmer
him more
weather.
Of, yeah, like back home. He's from
Texas.
A big Texas guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to get him on the pod.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
be real cool.
Definitely. We will probably in the spring or something, maybe in the winter.
Get Luke Gifford too.
Yeah, we're gonna get some of those like former Scurs on the pod. But back to you guys. Back to this pod. how was your transition to Nebraska? I guess I'd imagine for you, probably wasn't too big of a transition for either one of you guys.
No.
Geographically,
guys.
Not at all.
Yeah, geographically. I mean, it's close.
It's cold everywhere.
What about the city itself? Did you come from a big spot?
I mean, my town is about 65,000 probably. So I'm south of the Twin Cities by about 30 minutes. Mm. So it's still fairly large.
Yeah, like a suburb-ish.
Yeah, it's a big suburb, yeah. And it's still growing today with young families and stuff.
Young families, man. This guy sounds like he's on fucking ABC 30.
60 Minutes.
Yeah, you're on 60 Minutes. And I know Turner came from a population of like 3 people out in Kansas. So.
I'm from Lawrence.
I'm just fucking
bad. I know you are. No, Lawrence is a cool town to grow up in.
Yeah, I bet.
Had KU there, obviously. You know, it's a great college town, but, you know, I had to get out of there. It wasn't really for me anymore. Still had some similarities to Lincoln, but you know, Lincoln is just an awesome spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's interesting. Did you grow up going to games a lot?
Oh yeah.
They had some pretty good years, didn't they?
Yeah, back when I was a kid, back in like 07 or 08, we would go to games all the time back when they won that Orange Bowl with old man Gino and company, and then, you know, things just went south after they had to get rid of him. You know, growing up, I wasn't able to go to too many basketball games just because of how quick they would sell those things out.
I can imagine.
But no, those basketball games are really, really awesome, really intense. And
yeah.
their arena, it'll be like negative 10 degrees outside in January. And then once you get into the arena, it's like 95 degrees.
Oh, man.
It just heats up so fast because of
I bet
everyone
just the bodies
in there,
jumping
it up and down. It's awesome. It's real cool.
Let's say that 07 Kansas team was very fun.
Yeah.
What? Studs. They played Missouri at the end of the year, and it was like 3-5. Mm-hmm. It was nuts.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Old
really
Big 12 cool. action there.
Yep. Yeah. But ever since then, none of those teams have been relevant. Missouri, 1 year? Did they make the SEC title game 1 year, right?
I think it was like 2013 or something. They played Auburn.
Yeah.
I think it was. Yeah. They were pretty good that year.
Otherwise, they have not done much.
No.
I mean, I would imagine it'd be hard to get into the SEC that way and just become like a power that way. It's just different.
Yeah.
And conferences have different, you know, like there are certain positions. I don't know. Like I'd say the O-line, the D-line, and the Big Ten lean towards the heavier side. Like we're bigger personnel, bigger linebackers, bigger, you know. And the Big 12 is a little bit lighter.
Flashier.
A little, maybe a little faster in certain spots. But like that is true to conference, you know what I mean? And so the SEC, there's a I would say probably a blend of that.
They got it all.
But they have a lot of size, though, too. You know, it just depends where you're at. And speaking on that, let's talk about the weight room. Let's talk about your transition, Jeff. I know you mentioned it a little bit.
Yeah, but I know that was a big deal once you committed here. It was like, wow, this guy's 6'9", 300 pounds, but really skinny. Get some weight in there. Yeah. I know that was a big deal. How was that adjustment?
Get roasted,
wrestler.
I mean, I was a wrestler in high school, so
oh yeah,
I always had to be 285, so I was really skinny there. I mean,
is there like a cap on that?
Yeah, it's 285.
Oh shit!
Do they not give you flexibility? Because I know, like, wrestling,
you sometimes get like a 2-pound allowance or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So no,
not much.
Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
So like, my senior year of high school, I had to cut 20 some pounds.
Good Lord.
So like after Thanksgiving was our state championship football game. We played that, won that. The next week, we had a wrestling tournament. I missed the whole first week of wrestling, so I had to lose 25 pounds to wrestle on Friday or Saturday it was, and I ended up losing it all.
Wow,
jeez,
how'd you do it?
Do not eat. I know that stuff can be brutal for wrestlers.
It's you have to like watch your sodium intake and salt and just like.
No carbs.
No carbs.
But like, it's like, yeah, carbs, sodium. Like all I was eating, a few slices of just straight deli meat, a tiny little orange, a half a bottle of water a day.
Imagine that diet right now. Like,
yeah, that'd be awful.
Going through fall camp.
You wouldn't make it. You wouldn't make it.
No, you couldn't.
No carbs.
No carbs.
Good grief.
That's absolutely brutal.
It's awful.
Imagine. Yeah.
What would I know I had this experience a little bit. I imagine it's probably even greater for you guys. But when I first got here and got in the weight room, I started putting up weight. I couldn't even imagine a couple weeks prior putting up in my life. You know what I mean? Just because of the way you get pushed. Mm-hmm. Would you say that was a similar experience for you guys?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. Duvall, with Duvall right behind you too, that just... And everyone else is heavy lifting. Like, you're not, like, the only strongest one in there. Like,
yeah, it's
in
not
high
like
school.
It's time to grow up. For sure.
And now when you're in college and everyone's bigger, taller, faster, stronger, and you see, I don't know, Cam Jurgens squatting 8 plates, and you're like, oh shit, like, I got to do this now or
you
something.
You got to up your game up. Yeah, yeah. You're raising that bar.
You got to compete with the big dogs now.
Mm.
That's for sure.
I say, were you guys overwhelmed at all by the adjustments to lifting that much and gaining that much weight?
Yeah, I would definitely say I was a little bit overwhelmed just because I graduated early.
Mm.
Adrian, you graduated early.
I did.
And
nope.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know you didn't. But just getting thrown into the fire right away, diving into the water head first without, you know, dipping your toe in, like Coach Frost says, is detrimental and to how well you're going to be able to grow as an individual here in Nebraska. So,
yeah, you just got to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. Rather make a mistake full speed than a mistake half speed.
Yeah,
that's the way it goes. What has like your NIL journey been like? I wanted to ask about that. I know the Muchachos thing. Jeff and I talked about it earlier. I think we possibly have some other things in the works.
Mm-hmm.
What is kind of your game plan? Do you want to share it? Do you want to keep that secret?
I don't know. It's too early for me right now. I'm still figuring everything out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with Bryce on that. But, you know, also the pipeline, we've
got
there's about 7 or 8 of us.
Shout out the pipeline.
We got a nice little deal with Muchachos earlier, like you said, which is awesome
for us
to be able to generate market value for ourselves, but then also as a group.
Mm-hmm.
So,
jumping back to football, man, what would you guys say is – I'll never forget my moment, but your guys' moment of like, man, I'm playing big time college football. Like this is legit. You know what I mean? I'll tell mine first, give you guys some time to think. My freshman year, first game playing against Colorado at home. I mean, place is packed, but I was juiced, you know, juiced and ready to go. Wasn't afraid of the moment.
Yeah.
I run some speed option to the left and I'm kind of running around. I do a little juke move and I'm pretty much just cutting back into the big boys, into the linebackers who are flowing hard over the top, but like I'm just no regard out there. And finally it catches up to me, 6'3", 240 Mike linebacker from Colorado just comes and decks me out. My feet fly out from under me, and it's like a super not a ton of people like realize how big a hit it was, but when you see it on film, I'll bring it up when we go back to the stadium.
All right.
I get my shit rocked. And I'm like, okay, this is how they're hitting. Okay. I'll never forget. I also did that game. I did like a fake slide.
Uh-huh.
I was running and I like acted like I was going to slide and I didn't. I kept running. And I had like 3 guys just pile drive me into the ground like on the sideline. No flag. Like the refs aren't going to bail me out. I freaking earned that one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's little moments like that when I was first going.
Bryce.
either probably just my freshman year running out of the tunnel walk, that one, or probably getting my first snaps my freshman year in was the NIU game, I think it was.
Yeah, Northern Illinois.
Yeah, when the twos and threes got in. That was probably a big one. That was probably the biggest one. I was like, oh, I'm here, like, let's score, you know. Noah Vedral ran in, I was like, oh, this is time now. It's like time to take over, and it's big ball now, big boy ball now.
So I know it's different for you, Turner, because what? You got your first action against Ohio State last year?
Yeah, in the first game.
Yeah.
We were down, and G was like, he was, like, ready to throw me in, and he threw me in, and I was kind of, like, walking around, and it was just dead silent. Like, oh, this is college football?
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's funny, yeah, because, your first experience was a COVID year. I kind of forget about that.
No, but, I mean, in all, it was a great experience that game. Just being able to get out there for a few snaps, I think it was, like, 10 snaps, and just to be able to go out there and compete against those guys that were playing in a national championship was big time.
What about... So your first start was the Rutgers game.
Correct.
What was that like for you, kind of going through that process?
It was a little surreal. Like, when it happened, like when Jaime said that he was leaving for the draft, I didn't really know what to do. I wasn't, like, freaking out, and I wasn't, like, I don't know, it's kind of, I wouldn't say probably even keel, kind of just level-headed. Yeah. You know, I was like, all right, let's go. And then once the game started, like, getting closer and closer, I started, like, all right, I'm really, like, it's about to happen. And then in the locker room and everything, I was a little bit jittery, and then – Coach Hunter, you know, I say this all the time, and Coach Hunter, he was like, you know, it's just another Friday night in Lawrence, Kansas, and in all reality, it was pretty much like it because it was Friday night. Obviously, we're not in Lawrence, Kansas. We're in New Jersey.
And,
but,
no
like,
fans.
There was no fans there. It wasn't, like, super crazy loud, and it wasn't really, like, a whole lot of, I wouldn't say pressure because there's a game on the line, but, you know, there wasn't, like, things in the back of my mind like crowd noise and stuff like that. But
you,
I was just
you knew what you
play.
Were doing. You're ready to go. Yeah. And I like that Coach Hunter. You know, I knew that guy when he was on our team. So I don't know. It's hard for me to call him Coach.
Yeah.
But that's so true. You know, thinking of it in that way. You know, phrasing it that way. Like it is another. It's another Friday night in Lawrence, man. I like that. I'm not from Lawrence. I might have to use it.
But see, that Rutgers game was really weird. I don't know if you guys got the same thing. Yeah. Friday night, it seemed like you guys were the only game on.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no one was there.
Yeah.
It was pitch black in middle of New Jersey. No one was at the stadium. Like, even us here, I was one of the broadcasters for KRNU, and we were all alone here in this building broadcasting it.
Yeah.
So it was just all around, it was just weird.
And I think the time of the year of when it was taking place.
It's like the 18th.
Week before Christmas.
Because, everything was just kicked back so far.
Well, wasn't there a giant snowstorm the other day or something like that, too?
Yeah. Yeah, and we flew into, like, a massive snowstorm, or like the day after a snowstorm.
Oh,
so there was like huge mounds of snow on the runway just right next to us as we were flying in. I was like,
and it was like we had to wait in the hotel all day.
I forgot that game was pretty damn cold.
Yeah.
I remember I had to cut my sleeves off. I don't even want to get into that, but it was needed. New Jersey, no one there. I remember
awful.
A night game. Nothing worse for me than sitting in a hotel all day because you fly to the game, you know, Friday midday, sleep in. All right, that's sort of nice. And then all day you're just watching games or watching whatever. I think Friday there probably wasn't a lot of games on. We're just watching.
And we're in a whole
TV,
different time
watching
zone
film.
Too.
We're in a different time zone. We're just waiting all day to play this game. And then we get back at like 4 a.m. in Lincoln.
Yeah. I remember that was brutal.
Yeah, brutal.
Awful.
Yeah.
Was that the weirdest game you've ever played in? If not, what is?
Probably. I mean, just because there's no one there, you're in the middle of New Jersey, it's freezing out.
That Ohio State game was weird for me.
Yeah.
That first one, just because I had just known, you know, I've played at Ohio State before in front of a full stadium and, you know, towards the end of the year and it'd be electric. You know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Fox game day there. It's empty. You know, the horseshoe's empty.
Mm-hmm.
Just freaking weird. Run in for a touchdown.
Nothing.
And, like, you hear yourself, you know, yell.
you know, don't like, hear no booing.
You don't get to silence a crowd that's already quiet. You know, it's
it was bizarre for me, and then I sort of made that adjustment as the season went on.
Or so, I'd say probably just playing in Memorial with no fans, like walking out there. It just seems like a Sunday morning scrimmage that we'd have in spring ball or fall camp.
For sure. It was bizarre. It was bizarre all around for that. Mm. I love asking this. Yeah, who's your – okay, well, two different ones. First, who's the best player you've played against? And that could be practice, game, high school, whatever. Maybe the best player you played with, and then we'll do a separate one about who your favorite player is currently. So I know that's a lot to process. I know you guys got it.
Bryce, you got it.
I gotta think.
Turner, you got it.
All right. I'd say the best player that I played against going back to high school was probably Brian Breese.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a Clemson D-tackle now back in the All-American game. And then the best player I played with in high school would probably be Bryce Young. He was a quarterback on the west side. He was a stud. And then what was the third one?
Who your favorite player
favorite
is.
Favorite player is.
Oh. Maybe who you idolize your game after.
I already know what you're going to say. You're going to say the boy.
Yeah, definitely. Taylor Lewan.
Yeah.
Mm. The boy.
Shout out the boy. He, you know, he, after last year during COVID, G gave us those scouting reports, like guys to look at.
Them.
And I was watching Taylor Lewan and David Bakhtiari, and I watched a lot of those too.
Trent Williams
a little bit, and watched a lot of those two and three guys during all of quarantine, and you know, kind of tried to model my game after them.
So, yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah.
High school.
Well, it could be college too. Yeah. Like the best player.
I mean, college.
Too.
I mean, there's that one Shaka Tony or whatever on Penn State. They're two Penn State. Those guys who got drafted.
Yeah, they were pretty talented.
Patty Fisher wasn't bad. Mm. He was pretty good.
Patty Fisher is it for me one of the top five guys.
I'd say he's one of the.
Intellectually, I think was on a different level. I mean, I played against him every year. And he was like a 4-year starter, all conference guy.
Very good backer.
Yeah.
And then Ohio State's Jonathan Cooper, number 0, I think he was.
Yeah.
He got drafted too. So those guys who got drafted, who I played with, like in the All American Bowl, like there's Graham Mertz or there's Spencer Rattler.
Yeah. But what about your favorite player? You have a guy you really like watching his game, feel like you can emulate?
What's his name? San Francisco.
The right tackle? Mike McGlinchey?
McGlinchey. Mm. Or Trent Williams. There's the boy, Taylor Lewan.
Yeah.
Ronnie Stanley.
Stanley.
Those guys.
Mm. What are your thoughts on like those guys? I feel like we're in a good spot right now of linemen getting more recognition than they have.
Definitely.
Which is, I think, damn well deserved. Really cool. I think people are realizing just the monumental importance of the position.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's getting more recognition, and there's things like podcast Taylor Lewan. Oh, yeah. There's all types of different things. Do you think there's a guy out there that's undervalued that isn't getting the recognition that you guys could point to?
Ooh.
That's a tough question. Never thought of that.
Maybe Joe Thomas? Just because
Joe Thomas is going to the Hall of Fame.
Thomas is like considered the greatest offensive lineman of all time.
But like, I mean, he still didn't get that recognition.
Not while he was playing, but post.
Yeah, post. Right.
And I think that might play a role too, which is interesting because now he's kind of a bigger face on the scene of just talking about NFL football.
Yeah.
He's like the ultimate franchise guy.
Yeah.
You want because he was loyal. Mm-hmm. He's good for however long he played.
Yeah.
And
franchise. Never missed a snap.
Yeah. There's a crazy story about him saying he was in the huddle and he didn't even know who the quarterback was because they had like 20 plus guys while he was there. I mean, how nuts.
Yeah. That's tough.
No answer. I stunned the boys.
I don't know.
That was a good question, though.
People, I mean, like, Quentin Nelson's getting more recognition now.
Yeah.
Just from all his badass shit that he does in the field.
He's a freaking beast.
He's a psycho.
Is there like an O-line group that's known to be the top right now in the league? I don't know if you guys keep up with NFL a ton. Are you guys big NFL guys or not?
Yeah.
A little bit.
I think the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, they kind
of... I was going to say that.
they kind of recruited really well in the offseason with Orlando Brown.
Wait, hold on. Just so the listeners know, you're a Chiefs fan, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, just making sure there's bias confirmed. Yeah.
I can see the Packers because of Bakhtiari and Dennis Kelly.
Yeah, I can see that too. Also, or the Titans Eagles. Or the Colts. Eagles are solid.
Lane Johnson and Kelsey. And
49ers.
Lane Johnson.
Those are obviously like top five, top
he's
six.
He's massive.
Lane Johnson.
There's a picture of him.
Have you guys met some like any pro linemen outside of the guys who have played here?
Trey Smith, I've met. He hosted me on my official
Tennessee. Yeah, Trey Smith's a really cool guy. I've met him. I was committed to Tennessee, so I got to meet Trey.
He's a really cool dude.
Good guy. And I think he was undervalued. I know he had some health issues.
Yeah,
on Twitter and stuff about him. I mean, you never know about Twitter, but
Twitter.
Seems like he's doing a really good job where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
But no, going back to the Lane Johnson thing, talking about how freaky he is.
Yeah.
Coach G coached him with the Eagles.
Yeah, when he was the assistant coach there.
And I guess we were talking to G one day because we were talking about like BMIs, body mass index, how fat you are pretty much.
Yeah.
And I guess Lane Johnson's like 9 or 11% body fat.
You're joking.
No, yeah. And he has like a full like six pack and everything.
Dude's got a six pack. He is shredded.
And how big is this guy? He's like
6'7".
Three bills, yeah.
See that
he is 9, 10, 11% body fat.
Holy crap.
Which is unheard of for an offensive.
Is Kelsey still playing on the Eagles, isn't he? Or no?
Yeah, he's still in the center.
Yeah. That's crazy. Cause he doesn't even like he just doesn't look, you know?
Mm-mm. Not at all.
Jeez.
Yeah, dude's cut up. Goodness. Yeah. What do you think about kind of the pipeline tradition at Nebraska and the guys who come back and who work out here? Have they been have you kind of sought out some of their advice at all just about the route they've taken? I know now we have a starting center with the Giants. He was back a couple years ago. I haven't seen him recently.
I haven't talked to him.
Nick Gates?
Yeah, right? Nick Gates.
Brent.
Is it Clavel?
Corvell,
and then
I've talked to
the
him.
Guy who played for the Jets.
That's him.
There's another guy. I don't know if he's on a team right now. He was the center there.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not sure. But no, me, Bryce, Cam Piper.
We've seen Brent in there in the the Hawks just working out. Yeah. And we've talked to him. We've been doing our O line drills, and he came and joined us and have talked to us.
That's pretty cool.
That's sweet.
We also talked to some of the older pipeline guys back from the 90s.
Yeah, like Aaron Graham.
A lot of cool insight, I'm sure.
Josh Zadiska,
Brendan Stye.
All those dudes. They just want us to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're right behind us. They're all for us. Yeah. Like,
they're a really good group of dudes.
Yeah.
So,
and we some model, badass stories.
Oh yeah, some real badass stories. We model a lot of our game after those dudes. After talking to them.
Yeah.
And just being around those dudes. So.
Making some of your own now, right?
Yeah.
It's a plan, huh?
Do they want you to do the cutoff with the T-shirt?
I don't know if
the jersey?
No, it's not.
It's not allowed anymore.
No. I wish
we could. I genuinely wish we had those jerseys, just like the loose ones that like were baggy and then like guys could wear cutoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was sweet.
God, badass.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, go up against a guy like that and you're in for something.
No doubt. Yeah.
No kidding.
There's a little intimidating factor.
Oh yeah.
I bet you see Jerks would freaking rock.
Oh gosh, yeah.
We all
Brent
would.
Banks. He's always got his stomach out at practice.
This dude will show up to
meetings with a shirt off.
Yeah, meetings.
Hey, off.
He'll have one of those huge winter coats.
Yeah,
and just no shirt underneath.
Yeah, and start of fall camp, he wore his winter coat, shorts, and some random shoes, and just didn't want to grab a T-shirt, so he just threw on a winter coat.
Unreal.
He's the weirdest dude.
He's a good dude, though.
He's a great dude, though.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. Very good.
You'll hear more stories. We take a break. After this, we'll go to Tweets Unfiltered. Best part of the show. Turner Corcoran, Bryce Benhart with us here. Episode 10 of Athletes Unfiltered. Stay tuned. Plenty up ahead. Welcome back. Athletes Unfiltered, episode number 10. Turner Corcoran, Bryce Benhart with us here, along with Adrian Martinez and Jeff Ekstrom. Tweets Unfiltered time. And gentlemen, you got a few for us. What do you got?
Go for it, Turner.
All right. So back when I committed, back in 2019, I had committed to the University of Nebraska, and a coach I'm not going to say the school, I'm not going to say his name. He said, the future is bright here in blank university. We want guys who want to be here in the land of the greatest fans in America. If you can't see that, and then he shared a little GIF with someone looking at a piece of paper, and it was a very small piece of paper. I don't know what he was trying to say there. I think he was trying to subtweet at me. And it was the same day that I committed here, and it was the same day that another one of my buddies in the class committed to a different school in the same state. And it just seemed like it was a little bit, you know, kind of targeted at me and that guy. And
he was just salty. Get you right.
So when I heard that, you know, the certain conference was, you know, going into shambles, I was ready for them to come and play and, you know, the big old Big Ten. So
Get him right, Turner. Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, any coaches that subtweet or do any of that is just
foul.
Why are you in this business then?
Well, there's horror stories about that type of stuff where guys, you know, call the coach that was recruiting him, like, hey, you know, I'm not coming to your school, and then just flipping out on him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I get it. They put a lot of time into whatever, but I mean, at the end of the day, like, you're a freaking kid making a decision for your life, you know? Like, can't be mad at him.
Yeah, do what's best for you.
100%. Right. What do you got, Ben Hart?
Well, there was a few things that popped up. Like, I could do one that when I was committed here, and person back home or something on Twitter popped up, and they pretty much wished the worst for me and said, the state is ashamed of you and
jeez,
all that. Just, yeah, just flat out, just like.
Was it a person behind like a...
I think it was a spam account or a...
Yeah. Some BS account.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, screw that. Screw them.
I don't get that. College fans, like, why would you do that to a high school kid that...
Yeah, for sure.
...is doing what's best for them, you know?
Yeah, but they don't necessarily... they just don't know what they can't understand, you know? Exactly. They have no reference for it, so...
They don't know what you're going through.
Yeah.
But, hey, you made the decision. Look where you're at now.
Right.
Let's rock.
Look where they're at.
Still sitting on whoever. Twitter. Adrian's pod.
Jimmy Bob 5367.
Like my masker said, a keyboard ranger.
Keyboard, masker hitting us with some.
You had the cues on?
I did. I had the cues on. It was awesome.
Oh, I bet.
Logan Heinrich.
Logan, speak loud enough for you.
Yeah, every once in a while. He did a good job. You guys live with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You both live with Logan. Okay. How is that? And they also live a couple houses down from myself.
Oh, sadly. Nice.
We're
there
all
you
Creek
go.
Members.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
What did you say it again? Say it louder.
I said nothing.
I said Logan's a good kid.
Yeah.
He loves his video games, and he loves him some Meredith. So,
his girlfriend.
His lady back home. So,
sneak this.
That's no sneak diss.
No.
But, you know, sometimes I'll get a little upset whenever we're playing Call of Duty and he'll just mute himself during the middle of the match and just stop playing. And I'm like, come on, dude. Storm's coming.
Yeah, if we're playing video games.
Storm's coming.
Yeah, we're playing video games.
The gas is coming. We got to run.
Next thing you know, I walk into his room and he's just on the phone with his girl.
We're like, come on, bro.
Like,
just decline it.
you can call
it's not
later.
That simple. Just trust me.
I know.
I
kind of sympathize with the guy. Yeah, you too. I saw this man Ben Hart talking a big game. I saw him the other night.
Not a big game.
Walking with his girl down the road. little stroll. I know you didn't want to go on that walk.
No, it was too hard.
That wasn't your idea.
Let's go get some food.
You were tired. No, he wasn't going to get food. He was walking.
To her car down the street.
No, they were going on a stroll.
Okay.
Because that's what she wanted to do, and Ben Hart was like,
so probably like 95, humid as hell, but he was sweating.
Ice cream.
Mm-hmm. I call cap.
Go for it.
Now, something I'm interested in, I think everyone else would, take us through your daily meals and what that looks like as Power 5 offensive lineman.
I'm intrigued.
Oh. I mean, are we going like a weekday or a weekend? Big difference there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why don't we do weekday during the season?
I mean, that's just in the mornings before practice. I don't eat a lot before practice. That's just me. I'm not really hungry in the mornings before practice. I usually just either eat after or I eat something small before, like a protein bar, like a Nutri-Grain bar or some like a banana and some whatever. And then I'll wait till after. I'll eat Like, we'll have those burritos in the landing. I'll usually have something like that, or a breakfast sandwich after practice.
Mm.
And then a protein shake that we have. And then go to lunch, depending on what lunch is. Sorry, Dave. I still eat it, though. But depends how much I eat there. And then either go home and make some nuggets or something in the air fryer, or a frozen pizza a few hours later, and then, yeah.
So it's nothing crazy like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who eats like
six
chicken breasts in like one sitting.
Like on his cheat days? Yeah, no, it's nothing like that.
I'm pretty similar.
Yeah.
Breakfast, I'm not a huge breakfast guy, but like during practices and stuff, I try not to eat too heavy. But like on the weekends or if I'm back home, breakfast, you know, I'll eat a lot for breakfast, and then lunch I'll have like a burger or something after
like
breakfast.
We used to have we used to eat dinner at the training table.
Yeah.
And then we'd come home a few hours later, and then on the grill we'd throw on two Hy-V burgers for each of us and eat that before bed.
Yep.
And then some days
grill guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a Blackstone grill. Yeah. Mm. It's one of those flat-top grills.
Oh, yeah. Dude, we have one of those, too, but Brody has it, and it's just in our garage. We don't do jack with it.
I usually make breakfast on it or something with the eggs.
That's pretty fire. Yeah. I bet they cook fast on that.
I made me and Pipe breakfast burritos one morning, or a few mornings.
So what's the fridge look like in that household? Because I imagine it's got to be pretty stocked.
It's empty right now.
Well, I mean, dude, we're getting so much food.
Yeah. There just hasn't been a whole lot of time to go to Hy-Vee.
All my meals are at the stadium.
Yeah. Like, at the train our cabinets right now are
pretty empty.
Pretty bare.
Yeah.
I respect it.
Yeah.
So. Not a whole lot.
Hmm.
Yeah. I rely on Dave quite a bit for my food.
Yeah.
And Dave does a good job. He does. There's lots really of options and plenty of food to go around.
Those snacks 100%. Have been very good at night now.
That's true. Dude,
they upgrade them a lot.
I mean, we're a little different. I can't really eat those all the time for a couple reasons. One, like, I'll be getting too big, and two, I just I'm not hungry. Like, I just had dinner like a couple hours ago,
right?
But it's just different. You know?
I mean, there's some nights like when we had agave. Some night I asked Rosie for two.
Yeah,
two of those bowls. Yeah. Sometimes it just all depends on what it is. Yeah, it you get double the boxes or whatever.
The Noodles and Company was pretty fire.
Yeah,
oh yeah.
That mac and cheese.
I think I ate two of those.
I think I might go home and have that. I still have it in the fridge. Anyways, how about who do you think could put down the most food in your O-line room? Coach G included.
Of like what type of food?
Big Macs.
Big Macs.
Big Macs.
We have the over-under. Who didn't Cam say Ethan Piper?
Cam said Piper.
I'd probably go with Piper too. He's a good sized dude. Maybe Henry.
Yeah, I could see Henry.
Dark horse.
Henry Pipe. I could maybe be in that running.
Keegan? Question mark.
No.
No carbs.
No carbs.
No carbs. I forgot. What's you know what? We won't get into it.
No.
Another time.
I'd say I could probably be in that running with.
My money's on Pipe.
Pipe. I'm taking Henry.
How many do you think you could put down then?
Like I don't know. I don't know the last time I had a Big Mac.
Well, then what about another fast food place? You big Wendy's guy?
Big Wendy's guy.
So one of those
4-for-4s? I could eat a couple of those 4-for-4s.
Just a couple? Like if you were on Man versus Food, you know, you're about to win a t-shirt, get your picture on the wall, and like, I don't know, $100. How many could you put down?
Of the 4-for-4s?
Ooh. Or maybe how about just the burger? The bacon or whatever.
Baconator?
The baconator. Double baconator.
Six.
Ooh.
You could probably put down like six baconators. Easy.
Yeah, probably.
Damn, son. I gotta put down two on a good day. You guys ever been to In-N-Out? Side note?
Once.
No.
What'd you think about it?
It was alright.
Oh.
In-N-Out's
very
good.
I had it once.
In-N-Out is goated.
I had it once.
The best of the best.
Want to know the furthest?
Try it again. Go get the 4x4.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Believe me.
Want to know the furthest place west I've ever been?
Where?
Garden City, Kansas.
Oh, God.
Freshman year.
Bless your soul.
Freshman year playing in a... No. playing in a, I don't know, it was like a regional championship game to, you know, head to semis or whatever. But, you know, dog stomped them. And then, yeah, it's first place West I've ever been, Garden City, Kansas. So
dang, dude.
A whole lot out there. Smells like cow crap.
You, so.
Adrian, you can take us up to California.
Yeah,
to,
I'll take you guys out to California. Yeah. Yeah, stop at a couple in and outs. Yeah. I will entertain you. These guys, you know what? We can't even get into that either. I won't get into that either. Sure. I'll leave that at bay. Last time I did that with Double D, he was giving me shit about it in the locker room. Called him a fruit basket.
Yeah.
Well, Adrian, what's the most overrated chain here in Nebraska that you've noticed? Well, no. How about get your thoughts on... None of you are in Nebraska, so nope. What are your thoughts on Runza?
Burgers are good.
I like the burgers. I think the burgers are underrated.
The burgers are good.
See, but that's so weird.
But the actual Runza is not good.
It's fine.
See, I like Runzas, the actual Runzas, but it always just struck me as bizarre that everyone from Nebraska is like, yeah, I go to Runza to get the burger. No. No, no. Runza's for the Runza. If I'm going to get a burger, I'm going almost anywhere else.
Five Guys.
Culver's.
You see, there are plenty of options. I'll go to Freddy's.
Freddy's.
Before.
Those patties are like that thin, though.
Well, it's because they're steak burgers.
Freddy's is a rip-off.
I actually figured
Culver's.
Out for the first time like a couple weeks ago. I had no idea. I was like, why are they so expensive and like look like this? And yeah. They're steak burgers.
It's like flaky. Yeah. It's like you're eating flakes.
I think Freddy's is another Culver's, but worse.
Yeah, they just want to be Culver's.
Mm. Culver's ice cream. Is that the opinion?
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Ice cream.
Freddy's ice cream's pretty good, too. No cap.
Solid.
It's a custard. I'm saying, same thing as Culver's.
I'm saying Culver's is better, though.
Culver's is way better.
Mm.
My opinion.
I respect it.
More options.
I respect it.
What's the one restaurant that you miss from your hometowns?
Mm. In-N-Out.
Oh, Portillo's. There's two in Minnesota now, Portillo's.
What is that?
It's like it originated from Chicago. It's a...
big burger place, right?
No, it's like Italian meat. So hot dogs. There is burgers there, but it's like Italian sausage. There's roast beef, sandwiches. Very good. Very good.
I believe that.
Yeah, I'd probably go Burger by Biggs or Pizza Shuttle.
Pizza Shuttle.
Yeah.
Seems like a
24 hours. So.
It sounds like a $5 pizza place.
It is. It is.
And it smacks.
Yeah. It smacks, especially, you know, late at night.
Are there any, like, local pizza places around here that are, like, what's the one?
Like, Valentino's, but, like, that's not, like, that's, like, Nebraska now.
Yeah.
It's not, like, Lincoln.
Yeah.
I don't know about Lincoln now.
I mean, interesting. Boss's Pizza, I think.
Bosses?
Yeah, right?
I've never been there.
I've never heard of that.
It's open to like 3 a.m.
There's a place that has like cream cheese on their pizza.
Dude, actually, there's a place in Omaha. It's called Pie Zones.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Fire.
So fire. Mm. So fire. Owned by a former Husker player. Just top tier. Top tier place. Free shout out right there.
Yeah.
That is as free a shout out as it gets.
Free shout out.
Lob that one up.
How about some O-line room stories?
Yeah.
What's the day in life of the O-line room?
A lot of coughing brought to you by Brant Banks.
He's in quarantine right now in the O-line room.
He's not in actual quarantine.
No.
We just put him on the other side of the room.
Because he coughs too much.
He coughs a whole lot. And it's not COVID.
Yeah, specify that. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Not COVID. No COVID. Just a common cold.
You guys got to have some.
I mean, everyone's just silly in there. We all just joke around, really.
Last year, you know the catapults that we wear?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll do a brief explanation of what a catapult is. It's pretty much like tracks how fast you're running, your output, your exertion,
how far you run, and all that.
Yeah.
So, last year during our fall camp, our 2-month-long fall camp.
Yeah.
You know, kind of just to bypass the time. We were getting ready before practice.
We were up before meetings like 15 minutes early, just chilling in the team meeting room because that's where we meet. Because the O-line room's too small and the outside linebackers took it. But
Matt Forniak has his catapult on.
Yeah, like it like underneath. Like on like a singlet.
Yeah, so like, it look like
oh
a singlet.
Yeah, because so like, they're like sports bra looking things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he pulled it down to his gunner pants and he tucked them in his gunner, so it looked like a singlet. Him and Cam did that, and we turned off the lights in the O-line room, and We did Matt Forniak as what? The Big Show. And then Cam was the Seamus, was it? The Irish Seamus dude.
Yeah.
And we had them do their outros into the team room, and then they did a little wrestling match for us.
With the lights off and everything. That's throwing water bottles at each other. It was kind of fun.
But otherwise than that, we're just...
I don't know.
Who won that wrestling match?
Forniak, maybe?
I think it was Cam.
I don't know.
It's funny, Cam looks like he should be a wrestler, but he played basketball.
Yeah.
Cam's a freak.
A freak athlete
there.
He
deserves to be on that freak list.
I forgot he was on that.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. He's going to prove some people this year, I think.
There goes your phone, too.
Yeah, I can't talk now.
Talk too early.
I did.
Bryce Benhart, Turner Corcoran with us, Athletes Unfiltered, Episode 10. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. That was fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thanks, too.
Make sure to follow the podcast on social media at ATH Unfiltered on Twitter and Instagram. Follow our personals at MartinezTheQB and at Exxon Sports. And if you're feeling generous, you can donate on Spotify or our Patreon. Exclusive content not heard anywhere else.
Thanks for listening. And give these guys a follow. Give the pipeline a follow. Shout out the boys. They are the freaking engine that runs the Nebraska football machine.
About time, Adrian, shout me out.
There you go. There you have it. Follow the boys, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, everyone, so much. From Adrian Martinez, I'm Jeff Ekstrom. We'll see you next time.
A Huda Media Production.